Welcome to this latest edition of the Space Game Junkie podcast for the end of July 2013.
Farewell, July.
July. You were a good month, actually, for me, at least. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, our co-host, your co-host, Jim.
Hi-de-ho.
And we don't have a guest this week.
Space Pirates.
So you know what that means.
Are we going to do Space Pirates again?
I don't know. We're going to. No.
That should be like code for free-for-all. Anything goes. It's Space Pirates.
I guess pirates do represent anarchy, don't they, in a way?
So they kind of do. That could work. Except for the pirates of Law and Order.
The pirates?
The lawful good pirates.
There are lawful, from, what?
Yeah, the paladin. Oh, wait, no, those are paladins, not pirates. Never mind.
What? Okay. I want to ask.
You never played Dungeons & Dragons?
I didn't have people to play it with.
Oh, my God. If they would have had, like, space Dungeons & Dragons,
I still probably wouldn't have had people to play it with.
Oh, good, because they did have that.
What, Traveler?
Yeah, well, Star Frontiers.
Oh, I never played that one.
Star Frontiers is good stuff. Hey, let me put a link in the show notes for Traveler Remastered. Because what they did, or not Traveler, Star Frontiers Remastered. They went back, they took the old TSR books from Star Frontiers and like baked them into fresh new PDFs for your consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really wonderful, especially if you like the game or if you have like early teen kids that kind of like D&D and stuff like that, but like sci-fi, where you want to like put them on the right path. This is a nice game for that.
Cool.
Nice, simple rules. Good time.
Email me a link to that. I'll put it in the show notes.
Show notes. Yay. The news.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit of news. If you all remember
Let's talk about Ethereum.
Ethereum, yes. If you remember from last week, we had Andrew Luby on, the lead developer of Ethereum. We had a good talk about that. We really liked what he had to say, and we wished him luck, and it looked like for a while it might not make it, and then it looked like it was going to be close, and it was. They finished today maybe about $800 above their $25,000 goal, so with like just hours to spare, I think. So, woo, they won. Yay. I'm very happy for them. I can't wait to play the game. I'm very excited. Can't wait to play the beta because that's what I paid for. And, yeah, so good on them. Yay. Very excited that we have another good spacey Kickstarter actually finishing.
Yeah, and it's a particularly good-looking one and also a smart one because from talking to him about the AI, I think the AI will be in pretty good hands.
Yeah, I think we both really dug a lot of what he had to say. Like, I think my favorite thing was that, if a ship is attacking someone, if an enemy is attacking one of your escorted ships, they're going to turn purple in the HUD.
Purple boxes.
That is so simple and yet so brilliant. Why has no one done that before? So, yeah, I liked a lot of what he had to say. It sounded like you did too.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really glad they made their goal. Apparently, they made their goal because a lot of people just upped their pledges, apparently, which is really nice, I think.
Oh, that is pretty
cool. They did get apparently a good rush of new blood in, but yeah, a lot of people also bumped up their pledges. So that's great. So yay. In a sadder bit of news, do you remember the Imperium Galactica games?
Yeah.
Well, the folks at Digital Reality, they were going to make another one. It was going to be this online only thing. It looked nice, but we didn't really know much about it. Well, they just announced they're suspending development due to quote unquote purely professional reasons.
Mm.
They weren't apparently happy with the way it was proceeding.
Yeah, well, you know, the ass has sort of fallen off of the online only market a little bit.
Thank God.
If you look at Zynga, you know, kind of collapsing in upon itself.
Yay! I'm Kabam sorry. No, decided, I don't mean that. I'm sorry.
Well, and Kabam decided that they were getting out of those type of games. And Kabam, it's another company that makes Zynga-style games. But they're saying, like, well, we're getting away from the whole Facebook kind of games.
Yay!
And we're going to go straight mobile.
That's good. Because I hate Facebook games a lot, even the spacey ones. I've no interest in playing with other people I know. That's just pressure I don't need, man.
That's a fundamental flaw in your character, sir.
Well, speaking of online games, I don't know if you heard about this, but EVE Online this past Sunday night hosted what was the largest online space battle ever.
Did they shut the whole system down?
No, they didn't. And it was, wow, it was over 4,000 people.
Let me guess, Goon Fleet.
I think they were a part of it, a Goon Fleet-led fleet. And I think it was a test. It was test and CFC, their two big alliances, I believe. So, yeah, 4,000 players, 2,900 ships were lost. And this took place in the 6VDT system, apparently. There was a lot of drama leading up to this. There's been all this stuff in the Fountain system going on for at least a couple of weeks now. And this seemed to be a pinnacle of what's going on in there. So, again, EVE, more fun to read about than to play.
As always.
Oh, and speaking of a little more fun to read in EVE, apparently there was a massive theft from one of those same alliances. $350 billion-esque.
Not again.
Again.
Say it's not so.
It's so. Someone stole lots of money, and that can equal real-world money because you could, like, you could trade ISK in for game time for like monthly game credits or whatever. So that can equal real money. I don't know how much.
How interesting would it be if it was as easy to get money out of the game as it was to put it in? Kind of like what Linden Labs was trying to do with Second Life, right? Where you can just like swipe your credit card and get space bucks, and then you take the space bucks and put it back on your credit card. That would be wow. EVE Online would take on a whole new dynamic overnight, wouldn't it?
I wouldn't want that to happen. I don't like the sound of that at all. I don't like the sound of that at all. That's freaky.
Yeah. So what other news you got?
That was the big stuff. Let's see. That was the big stuff. There's an FTL Lego project coming up where if they get enough votes, they're going to start making a Lego version of the main ship from the game, the Kestrel, mm-hmm. I believe it's called. So that'd be neat. I wouldn't mind having a Lego Kestrel, even though that game...
God.
That game.
One more thing to step on in the night. Oh, God, who left the Kestrel on the steps?
Ow. Stepping on Lego is never fun.
Nope. We should use those, actually, in combat.
Oh, and here's...
I think we could...
Oh.
Well, no, they're really expensive. I don't think the military could afford that many Legos.
Oh, it'd be a lot of Legos. It'd be the most fragile ships ever. And now the last piece of news I'll talk about, which leads into our topic, Endless Space, has a beta patch that apparently...
Is endless.
...changes the AI, so it's more Empire-specific. I don't know whether that makes the game good or fun. But,
does it make the game not like loiter ships in your?
I don't know. Does it? I don't know. I don't know. I haven't heard.
It's like, you know, when troop landing ships show up to a gunfight. It's like
I can't bring myself to try it. I can't.
Yeah, that's my main problem with that game is I do every now and then catch the AI bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Ugh.
And it's just like, well, person wouldn't have done that.
No.
So.
I mean,
but you know, I like to dig into AI. Every time we talk to one of these guys that's developing the game, it's like, how does your game think?
Yeah,
you know, it seems like you have a whole bunch of people, and they're kind of reinventing the wheel about how this AI thing works.
Right.
And I wish that there was actually an open source AI engine, right, that you could plug into your game,
right,
and just be like, okay, everybody work on one project. We're gonna make this adaptable chess player that you can just teach it a different game,
right?
You know,
that'd be nice.
But I think all that stuff's from looking at the way that these AIs seem to work is they kind of evaluate lists and conditions and just tick down things, and occasionally they mix it up with some random stuff, right? But I would like to see AIs that can actually think more about, these are the units that are actually here, and what's the best way to deploy those, right?
I don't even know if we're there yet in terms of technology.
Yeah, that's so tough, man. I would think that you could spend a year making the game and then 10 years making the AI that manipulates it, you know?
Exactly.
And when do you know that you're done? So the way that I have heard is if the AI can beat somebody who's moderately skilled at the game like 50% of the time, then they're like, okay, it's good, ship it. because it's kind of diminishing returns.
Right.
You provided a challenge for the mid-range player, and then the expert people will probably gravitate toward online matches anyway.
But you wanted to, this is your idea for a topic. So do you want to lead into it? You want to hit the ground running?
Yes. It's space.
What?
Porn?
No.
Is it? No. It's not triple X. 4X.
Yes. Four of them. Four of them.
Oh, I confused myself. It was scary. Actually,
why does 3X's mean porn? Why does that? Why?
I cannot explain. But the original term 4X originates from a 1993 preview that Alan Emmerich wrote in Computer Gaming World, where he was joking that he rated the game 4X's as a pun on triple X rating for pornography. But the 4X's were explore, expand, exploit, and exterminate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I don't know if he gets royalties from every game ever made. Probably not. But
I had no idea that's where that term came
from. So here's my question to you. Sid Meier.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Okay, Civilization.
Mm.
So Civilization, the original, it has – you can have a population in a city. You distribute that population around to resources, and you end up with production or science, in the case of Master of Magic, like research, basically, of some form. So you have production capacity, research capacity. You can turn production into money, right? If you just don't build anything with it, you just turn it into gold. And then food. So if you have an abundance of food, your population goes up. If you have an abundance of production, your money goes up. Mm. And then science is its own reward, right? Mm. And then you can shift people in your population from any of those jobs. So you can say, well, I need population growth. I'm going to put more people as farmers. Or I need more production. I'm going to take some of my researchers and put them in the factory, right? So that was defined in Civilization 1. And then Civilization 2 and Civilization 3, you know, it has not changed. Mm-hmm. Then there is Master of Orion,
right,
which was a fairly similar system, except it was planets instead of cities, so you didn't get to choose where to put your city on the map. It's just, well, here's a star, and it's a particular color, and it's got bonuses to whatever, right?
Yeah.
So this is more suited to being an industrial world or whatever, you know. And of course, as factored by your race or whatever. But it was still the same deal of I have X number of units of population, and depending on what job I task them with, they will pump out one of the three different currencies that I then spend.
Right.
So that was in Master of Orion, Master of Magic, Alpha Centauri, which is personally one of my favorite games.
Oh, yeah.
As far as science fiction, it's oh, yeah, science fiction classic. Civilization.
Yeah, no, right? I still load that one up every now and again.
If you didn't hate multiplayer, I would invite you to play it.
Can you play that multiplayer?
Oh yeah, it does PBEM. Yep,
we should do that then. I would play that.
We should. Yeah, except that I hate people, specifically you.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
Because you're I don't know.
I'm a people hating bastard, and I won't play multiplayer games with them.
That's right. I bought all these games, and I'm like, Brian and I are going to play these games.
What games did you buy that we haven't played?
Everything. I blamed everything I bought on the Steam sale. You know. Thousands of dollars.
I am a dirty, dirty enabler. I know.
Anyway, so the deal is basically in the game design, you have various incomes that come in from different resources, and you direct those out to things that strategically advance your empire.
Sure.
So you grow your tech tree or you build military. And then there's different win conditions. They kind of vary between the games, but they're always basically the same. You can have a diplomatic victory or you can have a victory culturally, which is kind of similar. But, you know, like in Civilization, it's like, oh, you build enough world wonders and the rest of the planet just bows to you. Or whatever. Or you can exterminate everybody, like I do, because that's the easy path, right? You fake a couple of AIs into thinking, like, hey, we're buddies.
That is one of the X's. That is one of the X's.
We're one of the... I'm your buddy until we steamroller player B, and then I'm coming for you. Yeah. But we can be friends for a while.
Right.
But anyways, so it's that kind of game, right?
Sure.
And we've seen this a lot. So if we go to that chronological list of 4X games, it's pretty awesome that Cosmic Balance from SSI was the first one in 1982, a tactical level starship simulator. Uh-huh. That's kind of interesting. Anyway, so the first one that I would say is for real is Reach for the Stars.
Yeah, I played that, the original.
Okay.
Yeah, it was great.
And then there was Imperium Galacticum, which was in 1984. I don't remember that one at all. That was also SSI. There's other things, Strategic Conquest. Whoa, Warlords. Oh, man, I played the heck out of some Warlords. That came out in 89.
I jumped in on the second one. That's when I got
Answer. Warlords 2 was far better than Warlords 1. Oh. Warlords 3, not so much.
Three Dark Something Rising, I think, is the best in the series.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was kind of partial to 2, but,
I could see that.
So, Pax Imperia, I seem to remember playing some of that.
Apparently, the first one was Mac only, I think.
Yeah.
I never played it.
It was Pax Imperia 2 or something.
Yeah, Pax Imperia 2. Ugh.
Okay, so 1993 was when it, for space people, 92, 93 is when it really hit, because there was VGA Planets.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, why not remake that today? That would be, right? Primitive, but whatever.
Yeah.
So put it on the iPad. Just go for it. That's the thing about the iPad is like all ancient games are new again.
Oh, I know. There's interface on. There's like several 4X classics on there now. There's Ascendancy, there's Imperium Galactica 2, and there's Spaceward Ho, all on the iPad.
Yeah, and I need to get Spaceward Ho if you remind me of that after.
Oh, we're done. Such a great game! I need to grab that. Such a great light.
And then there's Not Master of Orion. It's also on there.
Oh, Starbase.
Starbase Orion.
Yes.
Yeah, I call it Not Master of Orion because it very clearly is Master of Orion.
Clearly, yeah.
In everything but name. Let's see. So there was Master of Magic came out in 94. All right, so this is basically, I would call it the genre that that MicroProse defined. I think that they did it so well and so thoroughly that all other games have to defer to that Master of Magic
so many games are still trying to be Master of Orion 1 or 2.
Yeah. That's essentially it. Is like if it's a space game, it's trying to be Master of Orion 2, all of them. There's not really many people making Civilization games. You don't really – one does not simply compete against Civ 5.
No.
You know?
I mean, there was there was that offshoot, was a Call to Power or something.
Yeah. And then there's Free Civ, which is pretty great, and it's free.
Yeah.
And, it's like a Linux thing. I'm sure there's a Windows port.
Sure.
But there's that kind of stuff. And then, there's Heroes of Might and Magic, those kind of things that kind of deviate from that. Mm. But you still got, like, some primary resources there.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of the same deal. So what I'm wondering is, can we get away from Sid Meier's version of how the universe works in a 4X game?
I think some games have a little bit. The first ones that come to my mind are, okay, I'm just going to be honest, Distant Worlds is probably going to come up a lot.
Oh, God.
Tonight.
See, I knew it. Whenever you picked this topic, you were stealthing in Distant Worlds.
No.
I knew it was happening.
You picked this topic.
All right. I teed this one up for you so that you could talk about. No, actually, the reason that I picked this is I listened to a episode of Three Moves Ahead.
Yeah, from back in the podcast. Back in May, which is a pretty good episode.
Yeah, and that was fun. And they talked about this subject pretty much.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to bring it over to our side of the house. But I do encourage everybody go over there and take a listen to that because they come at it at a different angle and maybe a bit different spots of detail than what we will. But I took that to heart. I was like, yeah, that's a topic worth talking about because Sid Meier, he basically controls the entire 4X rule set. It's like if you don't make a game that is a clone of Master of Orion, people look at you funny. And it's almost like I want to fail, therefore I didn't follow the formula. But if you do follow the formula, then people are just like, eh, it's another one of those, and it's not as good as.
Well, I think, see, I think the thing about the Master of Orion games is, I'm going to be honest, they didn't excel at one particular thing, but they had such a good balance of all these other things working in concert with each other that that's what makes them legendary. That's what makes them so, you know, held in high esteem. And I think the problem with 4X games is I think a lot of designers of 4X games, especially some recent ones, feel that they have to kind of stay to those tenets of the Master of Orion game, but they want to still try and put their own spin on it.
Yeah.
But that can work if done right and if all the pieces still work together. And that's the main thing I think Master of Orion and Civilization did right. It has all these different pieces that work together to make a cohesive experience. And if you have one piece that doesn't work right, or one of the X's that isn't as much fun as the others, then you're not going to have as fun of a game. And I kind of wrote down some notes about the four X's and why I think a game like Master of Orion and Distant Worlds are excellent at this. Well, the first is explore. Now, exploration in a game has to be fun and engaging and exciting, right? And if you're just sending out scout ships just to send them out and you don't care what they find, that fails. That part of the game fails, you know? You know, if you just find...
Yeah, but that exploration phase gets over with pretty quick.
It doesn't...
It's like you explore until you bash it.
It doesn't have to. That's what I think, again, Distant Worlds excels at this, because the universe is so large and dynamic and living that you're always finding shit. Even later in the game, your exploration ships are still finding shit.
But it's so, like, the Enterprise could be on a five-year mission.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And I don't mind if in some other games, if the late game, the explore stuff, you know, I mean, that makes sense to me. That makes sense. If you explore the whole map, you know, exploration takes a back seat, and that's fine, you know. But initially, that's the first part of the game. So that has to be fun. So it has to be exciting to find new systems and exciting to find new planets. And I've played some games where they make it dull. Like, I forget what game it was, but when you found a new system, you had to tell your ship to individually explore each planet. I don't want to do that.
That's too much micro.
Yeah, I get some people probably dig that, but I think it's a bit much.
So how much micro do you require for the game to be interesting, and yet how much micro is too much, and then it just becomes burdensome?
I think there needs to be a level of abstraction, because I think when you're playing a 4X, you're not an admiral. You're not, you know, a planetary governor. You're the emperor. And I think as the emperor, you're not going to be micromanaging every little bit. You know, you're not going to be micromanaging every little planet. Now, I think if the game allows for options where you could or not, like Master of Orion did this, where you could, I think it was the second one at least. I didn't play the first one very much. I jumped in at the second one. But the second one, you could assign planetary governors. And a lot of games have done this, where if you don't want to tweak the planet yourself, you say, oh, I want a scientific governor. Boom. Do your thing. You know? Give me a choice as to whether I want to be micro or not. You know? But even so, abstract it to a point. You know, I don't want to, you know, choose every little thing. You know? But yeah, the exploration and expansion, like you were saying, like we were just talking about with colonization. Like, endless space, again. When I'm, like, discovering systems and planets, I feel like I'm just discovering a set of numbers, you know what I mean? Or a set of attributes, you know, and that's it. Like, I found an Excel spreadsheet with some data in it. That's all I found. Do you know what I mean? Like, I need it to be like, ooh, I found a planet with lots of volcanoes and stuff. Or, ooh, I found a planet with ruins. And yeah, Endless Space has ruins, but I mean, it's like, oh, it's got ruins. Whoop-de-doo. You know, it doesn't really do much.
Well, all it is, it's a plus one bonus to something.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. It feels so unengaging.
Basically, there's no narrative there.
Yeah.
At all. It's like, who's ruins? Do we care? No. Plus one to science. Okay. So, but that's a thing that was done in Master of Orion, and it continues today. That's what I'm saying, is kind of like that whole genre is broken now, because you can't top the Master. Right? And you could just make a Master of Orion 2 with pretty modern graphics, and I think people kind of screw that up, though, because it's like that's essentially what happened with Galactic Civilizations, which was pretty good. And then Brad did Galciv 2, and the place where Galciv 2 lost me is there's way too much in the starship construction stuff. And it's my research tree goes too quick, right? I spend all this time.
The research tree is boring.
Yeah, that too. Well, the research has to be engaging. Now, that's another deal, too, of, well, okay, let's put it in Star Trek terms, right? Okay. So the Gorn and the Romulan favor plasma weapons.
Yeah, right? Disruptors, stuff like that.
Yeah, well, Klingons are into disruptors, and the Gorns and Romulans dig on the plasma stuff. And the Vulcans have like that giant cartoon hand that comes out and just pinches your ship. It's like on the Little Rascals they had on the front of the school bus. I don't know if it was a boxing glove.
I don't remember.
Anyway, never mind. So the mental image was with me and not with you. But anyways, so I have no idea what I was talking about. I derailed myself. I did it. Yay.
You were – oh, shit.
Oh, okay. So there's different races.
Oh, yes.
And they tend toward different technologies.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Okay.
But there's nothing except for maybe the roll of the dice in one of these games that says to me like, oh, well, I should research like hyper-accelerated laser something, you know, like some kind of new laser tech that sounds fancy. What does it really mean? Well, my lasers used to be green, now they're blue, and they do plus one.
Yeah.
Okay, so they kind of made it sound interesting, but really they could have just said, you know what, every point that you put in lasers gets you a plus one. And I don't need like this crazy tech tree where they try to build a fake narrative into it. It's just, you know, it's just like, okay, a point for point, it's like the first point gets you a plus one, and then 2 points get you plus two, and then you spend three more points and get plus three. You know, it's kind of a increasing scale, you know, diminishing returns. Okay, fine. But it's a thing of, like, I don't see anything compelling there. Why should I choose lasers or plasma or whatever? There's no racial distinction. Like, well, my people happened to discover this first, you know. And I could see, like, if you're just gifted it at the beginning of the game, then you might go down that road because it's kind of the path of least resistance.
Right.
So I don't know. That was just my thought.
No,
but that ties into the micro BS of people want to have. Remember we talked in the Star Trek episode about the starship creator?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so everybody wants to make this starship creator. It's like, well, I did all this tech tree crap, and now I want to put a Lego ship together and watch it go kick ass.
Right, of course.
With my new tech. Okay, well, that's fine. But I think the AI can build that for me. I don't think that I need to go in and micro ship designs and give them names and then try to track what's in my fleet and what needs to go back to dry dock and get upgraded.
Right, sure.
And all this BS. I'm the king, baby. I don't want to be out, like, sharpening spears for all my soldiers, right? I'm not a logistics guy. I want to be the king.
Right, so exactly.
I would like to make political decisions and economic decisions and tell the fleet, you know, I want to say this guy is the general and general, go fight those guys in this sector.
Right.
That's it, you know, and let me watch the cutscene.
Distant Worlds will let you do all that.
Oh, my God. Are we doing that again? That's your answer to everything. It's the Distant Worlds show.
I'm just saying, man.
I know.
There's an
okay.
answer for your quandary.
Okay, but that's just kind of my burnout on all these games, though, is like, and then you play the game enough, and you have so much stuff that you can't keep track of it. And it's like, God forbid, the game does the cardinal sin of not having an Excel spreadsheet in it of all my colonies and what they're good at and where all my stuff. I need a summary screen that has the entire game on one screen in nice Excel columns that I can sort. And at that point, it's real. I'm playing a spreadsheet. It's like all that. They try to disguise it, but it is. And, you know, I wonder, somebody actually could. There's people that make like crazy Visual Basic programs for Excel.
Yeah.
Somebody really could put Master of Orion in Excel.
Didn't someone just put a role-playing game in Excel like a month?
There's all kind of crazy stuff that people do. Yeah, it's just because it can be done.
Right.
Yeah, so Master of Orion would be a natural for that. Maybe that's the future.
Excel.
And then you don't need that boss key. Remember the boss key?
I remember the boss key. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't have
like my boss is gonna hide it.
I didn't have a boss when games had a boss key. But I remember
I thought that that was quite interesting that they would actually build in a way to hide that you were playing a game from your employer. Because, like, assuming that people didn't have home computers back then, so you had to, like, pinch time on the corporate network.
I guess.
That's pretty great. Now we just worry about people playing Pac-Man on their cell phone when they should be working.
So I guess you have a general feeling of burnout about the whole 4X thing, it sounds like.
I still kind of love it, but
yeah.
I get so many turns into a game. Like, I'll sit and I'll play Starbase Orion on my iPad, mm-hmm. and I'm like, this is great. This is just like 1994.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, it is. It's just like the way. So it's kind of like, well, that's okay, though, because that was a really solid game experience. But I want to see somebody move beyond that. And do it in a way that doesn't really fail, you know? It's because people deviate from it, and then they end up with something that's kind of boring.
Well, there have been examples of where there has been some deviation, like Distant Worlds.
Oh, my God. You got to warn me when you're about to do that.
No, I'm not going to warn you at all. But another example that comes to my mind is Imperium Galactica 2.
Yeah?
That was – I mean, it was still a 4X game, but –
Hey, that's on the iPad.
Yeah, it was for many years my favorite 4X until Distant Worlds dethroned it.
Yeah,
but it's got.
So why do you like it?
Well, it tries to have more of a story, but the story doesn't make the gameplay linear. Like one of the beauties of 4X games is you're basically having your own story. But
so do you play as the Emperor or whatever?
You can, yeah, but the thing is, there is some micro in Imperium Galactica 2, but it's handled really well. Like, you could build ships if you want or not, and you could actually build your planetary colonies. Like, you can put down buildings and stuff. And there's ground combat and everything, which is great, because then you'll do planetary bombardment and all that fun stuff. That I think deviates from the formula enough to make it feel different. To me, it did, because it was real time. It wasn't turn based. It had very.
Now, could you give orders when it was paused?
Yes, you could.
Okay. So it's real. It's as real time as you want it.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay.
It not only had story based events. It had random events. So even though there was a story for each of the three main races, it was still different every time. And I played so many games of that game because the space battles were fun. The ground battles were fun. The exploration was a good time. There were space monsters and stuff. The diplomacy was a good time. The research was interesting. It just hit all the right notes in a lot of.
So that's an interesting thing that you said, though, that the space combat was fun and the ground combat was fun.
Yeah, see, that's...
I have never encountered a game
there are very
that
few,
was primarily
there are,
space.
Yeah, there are very few games that do both. There's Imperium Galactica.
Empire
of the Fading Suns, which I was just about to talk about. There's Star General, if you remember that one.
That's like Panzer General modded, right?
Yeah, that was basically Panzer General with a space lair. It wasn't great, but I liked it. But it was.
Did it have space Nazis on the moon?
No, it wasn't Iron.
No sale.
It wasn't Iron Sky, which
okay.
I was bored with. I'll be honest.
Yeah, the premise was better than the actual.
No, totally. We made it about 30 minutes into that movie before we stopped.
Yeah, I'm a trained professional, and I couldn't make it to the end.
Yeah, it was. It was so sad because the premise was.
Have you seen his other movie, Star Wreck?
I've heard that's great.
It's basically Star Trek Next Generation versus Babylon 5.
I have heard the space battles are wonderful in that.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
Well, I would watch it for that. But
yeah, it's basically you just see you need to see like the master cut where they just chop out anything that's got a human in it, and it's just starship porn. That's fine. We're good.
But yeah, there aren't a lot of games that sadly do both that give ground combat enough of a flourish to make it matter.
Yeah, because usually it's just like chess with tanks.
Exactly. Oh, and I think Starfleet 2. Remember Starfleet 2 from like the late 80s?
Oh, Interstell?
Yeah, the Interstell one. I think they also had like a ground combat.
God, you said Starfleet and ground combat, and that put my mind on Star Trek New Worlds.
Oh, God.
And
No. I'm sorry I made you think of that, Jim. Such a bad game. Now, Way Team, I thought was surprisingly a good game for Star Trek.
That was like Star Trek XCOM.
Yeah, like Commando Star Trek, basically. Star Trek Commandos. But it was fun. I dug it. But, yeah.
I have it on good authority that Sulu always went Commando.
Yeah. But New Worlds, oh, my God. Really? You're going to give me a shuttle so I can kind of fly it but not really fly it? It just kind of hovers? Really?
Yeah, it's sort of a low-altitude shuttle.
Yeah, that's so,
so ridiculous.
I couldn't get past. There was a demo, and I played the demo just out of sheer curiosity. Or maybe I bought it. I remember playing part of it. Maybe I actually bought it somehow.
I can say that I successfully dodged that bullet.
Oh, no. I played
based on the demo.
Some of it. Yeah, I must have played the demo. And,
that's why they quit doing demos, man, because do you remember you used to have to buy – here comes the derail. You used to have to buy a video game magazine to get the CD-ROM.
Oh, yeah.
So you could have some demos.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
On your 56K dial-up. Dude, that I think that alone sold video game magazines back then. They thought that, the internet killed them or whatever. Not for the reasons that they thought. It's not because, like, every teenager has a blog. No. It's because we don't need you for the demos anymore.
Mm, that's part of it.
And then they just kind of quit doing demos, which I am a little bit burnt by. But it seems that the price point is coming down to this like $4.99 or less price point that you know the indies are at. And well, on PC it's like $9, but still, it's like for $9, that's a heck of a lot different than a $60 gamble.
Yeah.
So they're just like, you know what, you want to find out? Just throw $10 at it.
There's still
or
demos,
on your iPhone 99 cents.
Yeah, there are still demos out there though.
There's some, but it's not as prevalent as it used to be.
No, it's not.
And you know another thing that makes demos irrelevant? YouTube. I can go on YouTube and be like, show me the game. Oh, okay. I'll buy that.
Exactly. But what were we talking about?
King Kong.
No,
show me
no
the
we weren't. We were not talking about King Kong.
Do you know what? Actual true fact.
What's that?
In the King Kong movie, there's a Morse code message.
Is that a fistful of quarters, that one?
No,
oh, King Kong. I'm thinking Donkey Kong.
No, King Kong, like with Jack Black, the new King Kong.
I didn't see it.
So there's they take like an hour to get.
Yeah, that's what
to
I heard.
Island.
That's what I heard.
So there's a Morse code message that goes on at some point in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And the actual Morse code, somebody decoded it and it says, "Show me the monkey."
Oh God.
I don't know if that's a lie or the truth, but either way, I'm gonna accept it as the truth.
Show me the monkey.
Show me the monkey.
What were we talking about? God.
4X games.
Yeah, but what specifically? Oh, ground combat. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of the things I still love about Empire of the Fading Suns, or Emperor of the Fading Suns, excuse me, is that it had really great planetary control and you could bombard, you know, ships from specific hexes even from orbit if you had ships.
Now that's really cool.
Oh, I love that.
Actually.
Yeah, that was great. Honestly,
like think about Master of Orion, and there would be ground hexes, right, where you would have to choose where to put your facilities, and there would have to be reasons for it. Like, you know, there's mineral deposits here. Oh, I'll have to put my factories over next to that, or something, right?
Yeah.
So then you kind of organically have a layout of where things are, and then when the enemy comes and orbitally bombards your stuff, you also have to have placed your defenses and things.
Right, exactly.
Right? And like maybe it can only defend so many hex radius from itself from ground troop landings or something. See, there's room for people to do this stuff, But I don't know if it's diminishing returns or not, because then it becomes – it's like more micro piled on.
Imperium Galactica is kind of close to that. Like you don't have to that – you don't have that kind of determinism where you put your buildings. But it's cool because you put your orbital defenses down and then you put your planetary defenses down. So when like your orbital defenses – when you're fighting in space, you can see the orbital defenses shooting at the enemy ships.
Oh,
and
the, cool.
when they get taken out and the other guys land, if I recall, you'll see those buildings have been destroyed. But then you have the planetary defenses that fight the tanks and stuff that have landed.
Mm.
Oh, great game. Great game. Really one of the more unique 4Xs out there.
So, you know, one of the games that did deviate from the formula, and the jury's still out. It's Star Wars Rebellion.
I knew we were going to – I was really hoping we would talk about that one because – I see that one kind of as a precursor to Crusader Kings, more character-driven, you know, because Star Wars Rebellion was very character-driven, if you recall. Like, you had all these personalities on either side, and you gave them missions to do. Like,
Dude, you just gave me the cure here. It's the cure. Okay, it could be a Dune-type game, right? And let's say instead of Explorer and whatever, that the stars are already colonized, right? We're in the year like 50 bajillion, and everybody – it's like Dune, okay? Everybody knows where everybody's at, and the lines of factions are very well drawn.
Right.
And you make it like in Crusader Kings 2 where you have this map of Europe. And it's the line of ascension of, like, who married who to have an heir to what. Why doesn't that game exist
in space? I would kill for a space version of Crusader Kings 2.
The spice must flow.
I've only touched upon it a little bit, Crusader Kings 2. And, wow, it's intimidating. But it's also amazing. Like, that game is an amazing achievement. There's no other way to say it. That game is amazing. And could you imagine a space version of that? I mean, I think the closest we've come is probably Emperor of the Fading Suns, because in there you have your nobles and you have your rivalries and you have your empires. Yeah. And
did you look at the list of books that were involved in the? Because Emperor of the Fading Suns,
I owned a bunch of them
really?
One time. I've run a couple campaigns with the Fading Suns role playing game. It's a great system.
I never got all that detail.
Oh no, the game does not have. I mean, it can't have as much detail as the role playing.
It just lacked the color of.
Well, it also lacks the depth. I mean, you're not a character. You're. I mean, yeah, you kind of are a character because you're a named noble, and you can be killed and such. But
it almost walks the line of a mashup between Warhammer 40K and Dune.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like right in there.
Yeah, totally agreed. And it's a great system.
And it had space zombies.
Yeah. Yeah. I forget their names. I'm actually in the midst of a play by email game for Emperor of the Fading Suns right now. It's a lot of fun. I haven't played the game in so long. I have no idea what I'm doing. It's like.
Are you DOS boxing it? How did you get it to run?
Oh, someone put together a build that runs in Windows 7 at least. So.
Oh,
yeah.
You must share it, sir.
I'll ask if I can share it, because I think it's this guy's patch.
It's his proprietary whatever.
No, he linked to it in a forum. He linked to it in our forum, so it's probably
share.
That's where he advertised the game. But Emperor of the Fading Suns, I think, is one of the more unique entries in the 4X genre, which is why I'm sad that, one, it was released so buggy.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it was the end game was strenuously terrible.
Well, the problem is you have so much shit that you cannot possibly keep up with all.
Well, not only that, but the AI really couldn't keep up with it either. So the turns later in the game would take forever.
Can you imagine that on an iPad? It would just be like put it on the charger and come back tomorrow.
Exactly. I mean, the fan made patches have really cleaned that up, but at the time. And not only that, but the advertising for that game was ridiculous. It was like they didn't know how to advertise it. I think it was SegaSoft. So they like put an ad with like a duck and a bunny getting together or hanging out or something. Like, this is your diplomacy. What is this?
Duck rabbit diplomacy.
Yeah, it was something like that. It was like the most absurd nonsensical ad that made no sense and didn't tell you really what the game was about. I bought the game because it was space. I bought it at EB, and I love it. I still love it. I still have the disc. And it's one of those games I'll never get rid of.
You know another game? I'm just thinking about Hex games and the maps and stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you remember Ogre?
I never played it.
Really? Okay. So it's kind of interesting. They had a Kickstarter. It went very successfully. And
yeah, I heard about that.
The Ogre desktop, tabletop right. miniatures game.
Yeah.
And it's done very, very well. Steve Jackson Games
yes.
has that thing. I would really, really like to see another computer version of Ogre.
Was there one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Origin did it back in the day.
Why don't
it was really nice. And you know another game that was really good that Origin put out was Omega. Omega, it actually had its own programming language.
Huh.
It's impenetrable to me now. I fired it up with DOSBox, and I was like, oh, God. Because it's basically you build a tank out of Lego parts,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to program the Lego parts for what they do.
Right.
And, you know, so you would tell the tank, like, okay, move 5 forward, and then scan 2 to the left, scan 2 to the right, move 5 forward. If you find an enemy tank, jump to this subroutine, which is rotate the turret to the left or to the right. Is it lined up with the enemy? If so, fire. You know, you were totally programming the AI for this tank, and you would have to win battles to get better parts. And as you got better parts, you had to go back in and revise your program code to enable the new parts. Right. So it was very interesting. And I think that would be a cool way to teach kids programming, like make it programmed in C# or C++ right. or something like that, or something that very closely resembles, or hell, Python, Java, I don't care what, but just that, right? And then make it an online battle arena thing, because the tanks are like Pokemon. It's just like, you know, X11B, I summon you. Throw your tank in the arena and you fight against some other dude, and whoever's tank wins, you know, it goes up the scoreboard or whatever, and who had the best tank this week. It would be great. So just another thing that Origin was such an innovative company back in the day before EA.
Yeah.
So because they would try anything, and now they just try things that are known to work.
Right.
So, but anyway, I don't know what that has to do with Distant Worlds, but
everything. No, do you know where I think a lot of space games fail in the realm of 4Xs?
Oh,
The exploit portion.
Yeah, that's kind of.
It's a tricky thing to do. It's a tricky thing to pull off.
Well, define exploit, because you can go in and you can say, okay, this planet has this kind of resource, and I exploit it, right? Well, what does that mean?
No, when I think of exploit, I think more of the diplomacy side of things.
Oh, okay.
And I think you're
diplomacy is hard.
Yeah, it is hard, and so I think only a few games have done it right. Like Master of Orion 2 did it totally right. Imperium Galactica 2, I think got that right as well. I'm a big fan of Imperium Galactica 2, which is why I keep bringing it up. Star Drive kind of got it right. I think that's the thing it did best, was that.
Mm.
Even though in the end it didn't matter too much, because the other pieces of the puzzle didn't work very well.
Mm.
But, like, for example, someone who got it wrong recently, again, Endless Space, because their diplomacy made no sense. And it was actually, I think, made worse in the expansion.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about that?
No.
Oh,
you told me that things got weird in the expansion.
Oh, no, it was great. It was great because, like, you'd meet these races and a turn would go by and they're like, you would do nothing. All you'd be doing was researching. You wouldn't be moving any ships. You wouldn't be colonizing any planets. You would do nothing. One turn goes by. Oh, these guys like you more, but these guys like you less. Okay, sure. Another turn goes by where you do nothing. The same guys who liked you more the last turn like you less this turn. And the same guys who liked you less last turn like you more this turn. I don't know why. I have no – I didn't
– just random things.
It is. I didn't do anything. I didn't talk to them. I didn't change anything. Nothing.
You know what? You know what's really nice is whenever you go into diplomacy with somebody in one of these games where ships have travel time,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's another thing that Master of Orion pioneered, is I put a ship in flight down a line, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a 5-turn journey to that star. And it's flying down the wormhole, and I can't do nothing. I can't turn it around. Well, there's tech that you can research late game that lets you recall ships and stuff. But let's say, like, mid-game. And I don't really want to fight this guy, and I've totally kissed his ass to get a peace treaty and everything. But I have ships in flight from when things kind of look bad. Or maybe I have ships in flight because they were going somewhere else, but I discovered his empire, right? And now we're going to be friends. And then about 3 turns later, there's nothing I can do about it. Like, my whole warship fleet warps in next to his homeworld, and it's on. You know, yeah. And it's like, God, I wish there was some diplomacy where you could just be like, hey, please ignore. I had bad guys in flight, you know, and they're not going to bomb you, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a kind of a shortfall that I find in some AI.
No, totally. Totally. Yeah. Exactly.
But also, I think, have you ever played Cosmic Encounter?
No.
There's an online version of Cosmic Encounter you can play for free. Mm. Just make an account and play against other people. It's a very interesting board game, and it is all about basically screwing the other people at the table. It's like, you ever play Munchkin?
Yeah.
It's the same deal. Okay. it's kind of like screw your buddy. Right. That's what this game is. It's like, oh, we'll make an allegiance against Joe. And like, everybody goes over and piles on him. And then it's like, oh, okay, who's next? You know? So it's a game of tears and broken promises.
Right.
Pretty fun. So I think the diplomacy could work more like that in these games. Because really, okay, who really goes for the culture victory?
Nobody.
And if you do, it's like watching the timer tick down.
Well, that's one of the great – again, that's one of the great things about Emperor of the Fading Suns is it had this amazing diplomacy system, amazing, where it was a give and take. Like, I'll give you this if you give me that. And there are so many different things. Like, I will give you this much research points if you do a favor for me later.
Yeah.
You know, just amazing stuff like that that really hasn't been emulated.
Yeah, well, and another thing, if you had a game where there's a particular resource that dominates the game, like spice, right? Who controls the spice controls the universe. So it could be, instead of a culture victory, you could have an economic victory just by getting a monopoly on something.
I have seen Element some X. games that allow that, but I don't remember what they are.
I just want a Dune game so bad. I want, you know, just something with some intrigue and story and actual characters that I know their names.
Did you play the Westward RTS, Emperor Battle for Dune?
No.
Oh,
wait. No. Yes, I did.
Oh, that's
the RTS, like, way back? Yeah, I did.
Well, it wasn't the first RTS. It was, like, one of the later Dune RTSs. It had Michael.
Like, Dune 2000.
It had, like, Michael Dorn in it and shit.
Oh, no.
Oh, dude, that's the
I don't think
that's
I did
the,
that
like,
one.
The best one. Because it's got a territory map, and you can jump from territory to territory.
Oh, yes, I did. Because that was like whenever they were making Command and Conquer games.
Yes.
Then it was like Command and Conquer Dune.
Kind of, sort of.
And they basically used like the CNC2 engine or something for Dune.
I think so, but they also add this meta game of conquering territories, which I always love that.
Yeah, so that was kind of neat.
That's probably the best Dune game I've ever played, at least.
You know, did you ever play they had an adventure game that was a Dune thing.
Yeah, it was that also Westwood from like the early 90s?
I don't know if it was Westwood or not, but it was in the same time frame that Dune 2 came out.
Yeah, early 90s.
Which was basically an advancement of Herzog's Way.
Yeah.
So, which was the original RTS.
Which I never played. I just went right to Dune.
You know what's interesting? It's reborn now. It's called Air Mech.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
the name of it, right? It's the same game. It's still good. But it's modernized, and it'll play in your browser.
Oh.
Scary.
Interesting.
That's pretty scary that we can play stuff in a web browser now. Yeah. It's like my phone has more CPU than the computer that I had
like,
in 2000.
There's at least one space sim I know of, I think more than one, where you can play in a browser. Yeah, there's a few. There's a Quintet. There's the Battlestar Galactica one.
So what about Trade Wars?
I played that briefly on a BBS in the early 90s.
That's something that I'm sure that it lurks out there as a Facebook game under another name.
Probably.
But I don't know how good it would be. There seems to be a lot of those games where it's like, you know, rule your kingdom or whatever, and you're basically just like, oh, well, you get to do X number of moves a day, or you could feed dollars in and get extra turns,
kill
you know,
me.
Whatever.
Yeah, no.
Right?
No, thank
right?
you.
But it's that Facebook formula of like, yeah, it's a Facebook civilization game, except you don't really see your neighbors or anything. You're just trying to get... It is essentially those kind of board games, or door games, rather, on BBSs. Do you remember door games?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, that's when you'd log in the BBS, and it was just like, I want to go to the games section.
Oh,
right? And then it would have,
right.
Yeah, it was the menu, and it's like, choose your door.
That's so, right.
Yeah.
God,
there are still some BBSs up.
Seriously?
That's what we ought to do. Yeah, we ought to pick a BBS that's running Trade Wars and just be like, all right, everybody pile on this BBS, and then the SysOp will freak out. Like, wow.
Oh, God, SysOp. I haven't heard that word in so long. Oh, my God.
SysOp is available. Oh. Page.
Oh, God, stop it. I feel like I'm 15 again.
Have you seen the BBS documentary that Jason Scott did?
You told me about it a while back. I have not watched
it. Super great. And then he did another one that's called Get Lamp.
Yeah, you told me about that.
That one's about text adventure games.
Right.
Yeah. So both are great. I don't know about Get Lamp. I think bits and pieces of that are up on YouTube. But if we'll put it in the show notes, though. The entire documentary, plus a bunch of outtakes and other things, are up on YouTube, because he like Creative Commons did or whatever. Although you can still buy the documentary from him, and that's probably good to give him some money.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So yeah. So we talked about Exploit a little bit, and then the part that everyone loves is Exterminate. You know, combat or diplomacy. There aren't a lot of games where you could exterminate through diplomacy or subterfuge, which is sad.
It's too bad you can't play the Daleks, and that's the only way that they can win is exterminate.
Did you? It's not a space game.
They don't
have. Oh, sorry. No, it's not a space game. But did you ever play the Seven Kingdoms games?
No, I heard they were really good.
Oh,
but I never played.
Seven Kingdoms 1 and 2 are really some of the finest real-time 4X gaming you could find. Because
do they have Daleks?
No, but there's this way to. Like, I only did it once, where you could send a spy into a kingdom, and they can get promoted to a point where they become king of that kingdom.
Oh, and now then, that's kind of interesting.
And then you can flip them, and all of a sudden, hey, you guys are with us now. You know,
that's pretty cool.
I did that once, and it was so satisfying. But that's – you should check those out. Those are on Good Old Games, I believe. Those are for non-space games, those are some of the best real-time 4X gaming I've ever had. The diplomacy and especially the espionage in those games are just phenomenal.
They could just have a space espionage simulator.
Yeah.
Like Fixed Kingdoms, Dune style again. See,
well,
I keep
again,
coming
going
back
to Star
games.
Wars Rebellion. You could do that with your characters. You know, why aren't there more characters?
But there was no lineage in Star Wars Rebellion.
No.
And you couldn't pause that game and give orders. It just kept on rolling.
No, because that game had one of the worst interfaces of any 4X game ever.
But it was interesting, though, where
you
take heroes and attach troops to heroes and send them on a mission.
Oh, I loved that. That's what kept me playing, was the ability to do that. I mean, the combat in that game was terrible, but oh my God.
Now, could you see that married to what were those RTSs that they made that were Star Wars?
It was basically like
Age of Empires.
There were a couple of them. There was that one that was Battlefields.
Yeah.
And then there was Empire at War, which apparently was good.
Yeah, Empire at War. Well, the space stuff was good. The ground stuff was the same old trash.
Oh.
But, you know, I don't really want to micromanage RTS. I'm playing like StarCraft with, you know, Darth Vader's on the field of battle, and then I got a little hut that's like shitting out stormtroopers. No. Nope. So, anyway, but a game like that where you would have the combat, you know, you could have the hero system and stuff, but then marry that to a game where it used an RTS engine or something for ground combat. The only thing that offends me about RTSs like that is you should have to dance with the troops that you brought, not I have factories that crap out stormtroopers, mm-hmm. right? It shouldn't be that kind of a resource thing. It should just be like, what did you show up with?
So it's not a 4X, but kind of like Fantasy General?
Yeah.
Did you ever play that one?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm just agreeing with you.
God, dude. No, Fantasy General was one of the general games. It came out before Star General. And
generally speaking.
Okay. Yeah, basically you'd start with a set number of units, and you might be able to get some more here and there, but you would always take those units with you into battle. So if you lost a unit, you'd be like, fuck, because that's it. You know, they're gone, and you take them with you to each province, and yeah, you should track that game down. Seriously. One of the finest fantasy war games I've ever played.
Okay.
Seriously. And still runs, apparently, if you don't have the CD version. Like, you might have to find an Abandonware version, which I don't fully endorse. But, yeah, Fantasy General kind of does that a little bit, where you have your units, and you take them from one battle to the other, and you got to keep them alive, because if you lose them, you're screwed. You know? So that's a wonderful game. But there hasn't been really a lot of space games that do that. You know, like you move from one engagement to the next with your units. Yeah,
because that would be interesting, because then you're invested in particular units.
Yeah.
But then you have the temptation to just use the other units as cannon fodder and protect your super
troops,
right?
There are some games where units will improve. Like, I think Sins of a Solar Empire does this, where units gain experience, I think.
Mm.
And that's a pretty good 4X, even though it's more of an RTS with 4X elements.
Yeah.
That's,
I know your hero ships do, but I don't know about the other ones. But you're also upgrading your hero ships, too.
Yeah.
So that's kind of neat. And, you know. So, yeah, you know, I noticed that you own the new one.
Yeah, I noticed. It's
Steam sale.
It's kind of funny. I was sent a review press build a while back, last year, but that wasn't compatible with the actual retail version, which has new DLC and a soundtrack.
Yeah.
So I had to buy that version just so I can get the DLC and the soundtrack.
Oh,
but
wow.
I didn't mind, because I really dig Sins of a Solar Empire. It's a great, great little game.
Yeah. So we ought to play that too.
Okay.
Except that you hate people.
I do hate people. I do hate people. Yeah, you know what I hate about multiplayer
games? Can I get a waiver?
You know what I hate about multiplayer games? The thing I hate most about it is the time requirement. Like,
yes.
I don't like gaming on someone else's time, like on someone else's schedule. Like, I want to be able to load a game up, play as much as I want, and then when I'm done, I'm done. I could walk away.
And that's why you need single-serving games that resolve themselves in under an hour.
Like?
That's like, I want to say.
Like a small map?
Dota.
Like a small map of?
League of Legends.
Oh, no.
That kind
no.
of game. No. MOBA thing.
The M and
multiplayer
the O,
online.
The M and the O both bug me in that.
Okay, but have you ever played it?
No.
I'm not particularly good at it, nor do I really love it. But I definitely see where it has a selling point, because you can get in, kill or be killed, and get out.
Hmm.
And it resolves itself usually inside of 20 minutes. And, yeah, it's, you know, and they have a leaderboard, and there's bragging rights and all the above.
I think the problem with you and I getting together to play is that the time I have most to play is on the weekend.
Right, and that's when I work the most.
Exactly. Which sucks. Because I wouldn't mind it at one point trying a small map of Sins. You know, I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah.
Check it out. Because I've never played it in multiplayer. But that's a really good that's another good unusual 4X, I think.
Yeah.
Because,
well, what I've found with people that I've played with before that play a lot of 4X games or, you know, whatever. So the humans, like, even when they play StarCraft, it'll be like three humans, and they'll set up three computers that are moderate AI, and it's people stomping the computer.
Right.
Right? So you can do that. That's a good way to learn these games, too, is just get in there and, like, three people versus two moderate AIs, and you know you're going to win, and you have a little bit of time to screw around with the units, and you get to see the whole tech tree.
Sure.
And, you know, don't Zerg rush over there and kill them too quick.
Hmm.
You know? So that's kind of an interesting way to explore, where you don't have a whole lot of challenge because there's two of us beating up the AI.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's interesting. And most of those games, I like single-serving games like that. I'm getting away from MMOs because MMOs, it's just like, oh, God, you have to have a whole social calendar for that shit. And I can't do it. And that's why I can't play Eve.
Yeah, oh, well, Eve is its own nightmare. But I am looking forward to Star Citizen quite a bit. I could see, like, when Jumpgate...
Star Citizen is going to become like a second life.
No. When Jumpgate was active, there were... I would play that game on and off. I played it on and off for 10 years. And there would be like... I'd play it every night for hours, for months. And then I'd be like, I need a break. And then I'd go back in. And it was my second life for a long time. Because I have worry that's what Star Citizen is going to be. Because it's the same type of game.
I have great hopes that that's what Star Citizen is going to be. I hope that they do that well. I hope it sustains.
I hope so too, because there was going to be a Privateer Online many years ago. Yeah. I remember it was in PC Gamer, I think.
Interesting. And it just wouldn't have been good back then, and so I'm glad they waited.
Yeah, like there was also going to be, I think, a Jane's Online, but EA killed them both way back in the late 90s when EA killed
I think the Privateer might have been a mercy killing. Can you imagine, like, Elite Online?
Well, we're going to get that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about it, but we're going to get it.
Well, is that how the new Elite Dangerous is going to go?
It looks like
it's online only.
I think you can play by yourself, but I think it's going to be online. I'm not 100%. I'll play it, but my expectations of that one are pretty lowish.
So there's a fifth X.
What's the fifth X?
Exhausted.
Yeah, that's how you sound, man. And you know what? You know what's sad about it is a lot of these 4X games that have come out recently are just adding to that. Like Star Drive, great potential, just a mess. Endless Space, great potential, pretty game, just a mess. What was it? What was it? There was a couple others that no one cared about.
They kind of did it in what was that game? I can't remember. Anyway, what about a space business sim? I was thinking like X Beyond the Frontier.
Where
they have that, but I'm talking about actually like entrepreneur in space. Right?
You run shipping lanes. I think there are a couple of them. There was one called Gazillionaire.
Okay. Yep.
I think, and there was another one where you like managed fleets of space trucks, but I can't.
Yeah, because I think it would be interesting to do something that's in an established universe, that the entire state of the universe is not necessarily in a grand cataclysm, you know, where everybody is trying to kill everybody. It's like, okay, this is a lucky future where everybody has kind of gotten along, and it's civilized, and there's some fringe trouble. But the core worlds are pretty stable. And you just do something in the core worlds, and you don't have to manage every aspect of it. But you can just say, oh, this is a business simulator game about running, you know, cargo.
Do you know how much something. I would love if they took Euro Truck Simulator 2 and put it in space? Seriously? I would not stop playing that game.
Well, when you said Euro, I was thinking like Euro Rails. Okay, because they have all those German train board games. Right.
Right. Yeah.
It's a very highly developed subgenre of crazy German board game, and Ticket to Ride. This kind of can you see that put to galactic shipping lanes because all these worlds are tied together.
I could see that. Oh
something.
Yeah, I could totally see that. I can't think of a game that's done that. Sadly,
that's right. There it is. So send me the check. I have solved your problem.
Someone make
that's the new
Ticket to Ride in space, or either that or Space Truck Simulator. Someone do that.
Exactly.
If someone made a Space Truck Simulator, like Freighter Captain Simulator or something like that, I would.
But you need Dennis Hopper hauling.
No.
That movie was awesome.
I didn't even watch it.
Everything about that movie was awesome.
Was that Lodestar? Was that that one?
No, Lodestar was a game. This was called like Space Truck.
That's right. We talked about that.
Yeah, and it was like they had square pigs so that they fit in the containers better. They genetically engineered square pigs. This is a blast.
God.
Anyway, we should run, man. We've been at this for almost 2 hours.
Really? Oh, my God.
Yeah, an hour and 40 minutes.
So have we resolved anything? No, I guess.
Yeah, we've resolved that all games are Sid Meier's in the end.
Oh, and maybe. But we've also resolved that you're kind of burnt out on them, which is sad. I don't blame you at all.
I just want to see something new, and it's like I'm very happy with the old system.
Get Imperium Galactica for your iPad. Seriously, yeah. Get Imperium Galactica 2.
I have it. Oh. I need to invest some time in it. Maybe you can coach me through it.
Oh, God, it's been so long since I played it.
Yeah. What about Distant Worlds?
Play that one. Oh, coach you through it?
I didn't want to go out unless we talked about Distant Worlds one more time.
Oh, have you?
That was it. Oh, okay. We did it. Distant Worlds.
Great game. People should play it. Right. People should buy it. Well, that was our topic. For
Distant Worlds.
Yeah, our topic was Distant Worlds. Oh, God. I think I'm getting to that point and tired when everything's funny.
Well, it works for me.
Yeah. But
that makes my paycheck easy to earn.
But we had a good talk. I don't think there's any resolution. I think we just got to keep rolling with the punches that we
can. Yeah, it's basically like a giant neon sign that I've left pointing to the Three Moves Ahead podcast. Just go listen to that because they kind of did a better job of exasperation with this kind of game than I did. But
yeah, I don't think I'm exasperated with it.
I just want the Dune game, dude. The spice must flow on my computer in 2014.
Oh, man, yeah.
Well, what about okay, the other Sid Meier again with a lot of diplomacy in it, I found more heavily than the others, is Alpha Centauri.
Yeah.
Why can't we get that in space or a remake of that? Because that was very interesting factions, and they all had their own legitimate reasons for acting differently.
No, totally.
And they weren't aliens.
No.
They were just different, because humans can be very diverse their ethics.
Have you played Emperor of the Fading Suns?
Yes.
Okay.
It's been a long, long time, but I have.
You might want to
I remember pissing off the Inquisition by researching illegal technologies and thumbing my nose at them.
Damn it, Jim. No.
And then they landed troops and whooped my ass. So that's an interesting
Inquisition. You should have expected the Inquisition.
No one expects the Space Inquisition.
Exactly.
So it's true. But that's an interesting dynamic in that game.
Oh yeah.
That there is a third force and they are very powerful at the beginning.
Oh yeah. Oh,
and if you anger them by getting over the lines and not hiding, could you spend money to kind of hide your
naughty things? I don't remember.
I think you could pay indulgences, right? And just be like, yeah, we'll pay the church to look the other way.
It kind of sounds like you need to play that game again.
I do. I tried to get it running the other day, and I had no success.
I'll send you the – I don't know if it works on 7, but I'll put in the show notes the version I've been using. That works totally fine on 7. It's like 3 patches, but it works great. And that might be the game you want to play again for a while, is that one.
Okay.
Seriously.
Until I get hyper frustrated with it.
That's my prescription.
fling my imaginary floppy disk across the room.
You got a fever, and the only prescription is more endless space. Is more now? God, no! Is more Emperor of the Fading Suns? That was a terrible walk-in impersonation.
It was
awful. I was trying, man. I was trying. I love walk-in, but he's hard to impersonate. So everyone, that was not as rambly as I thought it would be. It was a little rambly, but we kind of stayed on point. Good job.
I tried to derail.
I'm working out guests for the upcoming weeks, so stay tuned for that. And thank you for listening to this latest episode of the Space Game Junkie Podcast. As always, you could contact us at hail, at spacegamejunkie.com, or leave your comments below. And don't forget to subscribe to us on RSS and iTunes, like us on Facebook, all that fun stuff. But thanks for listening, and have a great night, everyone, or day, or wherever it is you are. Something like that.
See ya in the space.
Oh, God. You said that. I can't believe it.
The space.
The space.
Do you remember when they had that robot thing they were going to send. We should look that up. There was going to be a robot battle, and Japan was doing it, and it was those remote control robots, and they had rented like some rocket that they were going to send an arena up into space, and they had remote control battles, and they called it like Robot Battle in the Space.
Oh God, I think I do remember that.
I wonder whatever happened to that. That was too good to be true.
Hopefully nothing. That sounds like a disaster.
I'm looking it up right now. Oh, we're still recording.
We're still recording?
So,
okay.
Yeah. So for this, Robot Battle.
Oh, gosh.
In the Space.
In the Space.
Well, there's Cardboard Robots Battle in Space. That's not it. No. Robot Wars Online? No. Here it is. Robo One. In the Space.
In the Space.
Promises low orbit robot battles.
Oh, God.
God, this was from 2006. God, it's a wonder I can remember anything back to 2006. It was before my traumatic head wound.
You have a traumatic head wound?
No, not really. Okay. Well, that's my code name for this job I used to have.
I was going
to
say, was your traumatic head wound Galsiv 2?
No, but damn, nothing ever came of this. Terrible.
Robo One in the Space. Oh, I do remember this.
In the space. They had an official website. Is it still up?
I don't know.
Robo One. It's robo-one.com. In the Space.
Is it still up?
Yeah, it's still there. Let's translate this.
Oh my God.
Scheduled to be held on October 10th, 2010.
Well, I guess that either that never happened or we never heard about it.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know.
It's funny how the space, it reminds me of, I don't know about you know this guy on Fox News. His name is Shep Smith. And he's really funny.
Do you watch Fox News?
No, I don't.
Fair and balanced?
I do not watch Fox News, but Colbert had a bit on him. You should find that. And I'll find it.
No, I was thinking, like, the biggest liberal I know is watching Fox News.
Shep Smith is, like, they're talking about stuff. They're talking about, like, Lance Armstrong, and he's like, well, maybe he was on The V. They're like, the what? The V. You don't watch The True Blood? And he calls it The True Blood. Then he goes into a rant for like the next 2 minutes about how awesome True Blood is. And wow. Oh, he's awesome. He's awesome. I will find you once we stop. Are we still recording? We
should stop. Yes.
Oh, my God. Bye, everybody. Jesus Christ. Stop this. Stop it. Oh,
stop
God.
The
stop
insanity.
The train. Stop it.
Do you remember Susan Powder?
I do remember Susan Powder. She was,
yes.
Even with her hair, she was hot. She was hot. Anyway.
She developed a thing in me for bald chicks.
Mm, she wasn't bald, exactly.
No, but it was kind of, I don't know, Grace Jones was scary. Susan Powder was hot. But they had very similar hair cuts, so.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. I'm still recording, so don't say anything incriminating.
No, what's her name? Grace Smith. She,
No, Grace Jones.
Grace Jones. What am I saying, Smith? Oh, because I'm still on that thing. Copy. Grace Jones, she just was a little too intense.
She was intense.
A little too
feral.
Much so.
She was a bit feral.
Maybe it was too masculine. Maybe it was too like intensely masculine.
Did you ever see Vamp?
No.
That was a movie where she was a stripper.
The only movie I've ever seen her.
They were vampire strippers.
The only movie I've ever seen with her in it was A View to a Kill, which is probably the only movie anyone's seen.
And you know who else is in that movie?
Walken.
That's right.
With blonde hair. He's got the blonde hair and the big, huge glasses take up half of his face.
And a Zeppelin.
And a blimp.
He had a Zeppelin.
He had a blimp. We've been very high.
No, when it's used for evil purposes, it's a Zeppelin.
He had a Zeppelin. Went high in the sky, bada bing. No, I don't know.
Oh, my God. Little Joe Pesci at the end to bring it down.
I don't know why I did that.
Good work, sir. All right, good night.
Let's have some music in here, Boiler. Sure thing.